Well, if you are new with us, we are in this sermon series looking at the life of Jacob. And if you have your Bible or if you have your phone, I would encourage you to turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. As you are finding that, I want to begin with this question, all right? So I got a question for you I want you to think a little bit about. Do you have a scar or maybe a injury, all right? So a scar or maybe this nagging injury, and behind that scar or that injury, there is a story that goes with it. When I was 18 years old, my summer job for a couple summers was to help lay carpet, and I was basically like the grunt guy. I had to take all the old carpet and all the old padding, and let me tell you, sometimes that could get pretty gross. This one guy, when I first started, apparently he had a cat. And let me tell you, that padding can get pretty rough. And so I was beginning to wonder if I should keep this job or not. But eventually, through my hard work, I guess, they let me do a few other things. And so they began to let me lay the new padding for the new carpet. And so I would go in and put these strips down, and I'd lay the padding down, and I'd staple it and cut it with the razor blade and all this stuff. And so that was going pretty good. I felt pretty proud of my work. Then they would dismiss me, and they would actually lay the carpet. But again, I felt pretty good about this. And so I'm doing this over the summer, and then one day I did the thing they warned me not to do. And that as I was stapling the padding and going along and cutting off some of the excess, I placed and pushed my thumb down on an exposed razor blade. And let me tell you, that thing was so sharp, it actually didn't really hurt. But when I looked down, there was just this huge hole in my hand, this cut, and blood was coming everywhere. And so off to the emergency room we went, and I got all stitched up and everything like that. And so even today, on my right thumb, all the way almost across it, I have this scar. And when I look at that, I can remember all the different things that took place on that day. But also around my thumb, something has changed. It's just a little different. It feels a little different. So I want to ask you, do you have that story, right? Do you have something that comes to mind? Maybe you have a chipped tooth and there's a story behind that. Maybe you got the bum knee from high school sports. Maybe you had surgery, right? And there's a story behind that. So again, for you, what is that story? Well, as we continue in this series, looking at the life of Jacob, Jacob sustains a significant injury. He has his hip dislocated. And this injury is so bad, he develops this limp, and he has this limp the rest of his life. Now, what is taking place and surrounding this is that Jacob finds himself in a very vulnerable moment. Jacob gets in this all-night wrestling match with this man, and as the story proceeds, it becomes clear that this is not just a man, this is in fact God himself. See, Jacob's about to face his brother. He hasn't seen his brother for 20 years, and there is stress and there is anxiety, right? He's on the crisis point of this encounter when God begins to wrestle with him. And because of this wrestling match, Jacob sustains this injury, and he's changed physically. But as we'll see, he is also changed spiritually. And it's a strange story. Right, we all kind of have our top five strangest things, you know, maybe some strange movie, or maybe we have a top five list of the greatest athlete or musician, whatever it might be. But for this story right here, I'm convinced this is one of the top five, maybe the top three strangest stories in the Bible. But though it is a strange story, it's actually very relatable because it's a picture of each of us. Where we, like Jacob, have times in our life where we face difficulty, we face hard things, we face confusing situations, right? We ask those questions of why God, or how could this happen? And so we wrestle with God. It's a picture that Jacob has here when he wrestled with God of our spiritual journey. But as we go through this story, again, it's kind of a strange one. We're going to see how Jacob grows in his faith and how we are to grow in our faith as we wrestle and struggle with God. Now, before we get to this WWE wrestling match that Jacob and God have, we need to kind of trace a little bit of how we got to this point. So maybe you missed a few weeks, and so this kind of gets you caught up to speed. So back in Genesis chapter 27, Jacob's father, his name is Isaac. He is very old and he thinks he's about to die. Now, in fact, he's going to live many more decades, but he thinks he's at that point. And so he's making the preparations and he's going to give the family blessing to his son Esau. Now remember, this is the family of God, the chosen family of God. And so this blessing carries a lot with it, that through their family, all the earth would be blessed. Eventually, Jesus Christ himself would come from this family. And so Isaac wants to give this blessing to his favorite son, Esau. Now, Jacob and Esau, they're twins, but Esau, he's technically the oldest, so he should get the blessing. But again, because he's Isaac's favorite, Isaac wants him to get the blessing. But Rebekah, the mother, she favors Jacob, right? So this family has got all sorts of dysfunction. And so she overhears this conversation that Isaac and Esau are having. And Isaac tells Esau, hey, I want you to go get some game, hunt some game, prepare a meal for me, and then I'm going to give you this blessing. And so Rebekah hears this, and so she begins to scheme with Jacob. And when Esau's out, she says, hey, get some of his clothes. She says, get me a couple of goats. And she's going to prepare a meal with one, and the other she's going to kill and cover Jacob's hands and his neck with this goat hair, because apparently Esau was this hairy dude. And so Jacob goes in and he deceives his father, and it works. He receives the blessing. Now, just as he's really exiting the scene, Esau comes back and he's all excited. He thinks he's about to receive the blessing, but Isaac's already given it. And because of this, he is so angry, he is so upset, he threatens to kill Jacob. And with this threat out there, Jacob runs away to his mother's side of the family. Right? They want to give Esau some time to maybe cool off. And they also want Jacob to kind of move forward and get married. Right? If he's going to carry this blessing that generation after generation leading to Christ and blessing all the people, he needs to have a family. And so they send him away some 550 miles away. Right? That's chapter 28. And then as we looked at last week, when Jacob finally arrives on this long journey, he finally gets to Rebekah's side of the family. What takes place is he gets married, he has some kids, he gains wealth, and it just sounds so nice and wonderful. But as we looked at last week, it was not all nice and wonderful. He got four wives, these sisters, they had all this rivalry with each other. He has these kids, they begin to have a rivalry with each other. His uncle Laban, also his father-in-law, he's deceiving him and taking advantage of him. It's just this big mess. But yet, even in the midst of this mess, God is faithful to Jacob. God makes Jacob prosperous. And he has this large family and he has this wealth. And after this 20-year time period, we read this in Genesis chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. God is saying, I want you to go back. I want you to make this long journey back home. It is time. And that sounds wonderful. That sounds great, but there's a problem. Though it's been 20 years, Jacob has no idea if Esau has moved on or not. Is Esau still mad? Has Esau forgiven Jacob? He's not sure. And so Jacob doesn't know. And so he has to assume that Esau is still upset. And so Jacob, this guy, right, his name means trickster, deceiver. He's always plotting. He's always scheming. And so what he does is he takes some of his servants and he's going to have them kind of go out and kind of assess the situation. And so he sends them out in front of his family and basically gauge, hey, where is Esau at? Is he still mad? Is he still upset? And these guys, they come back with this report. Look at chapter 32, verse 6. When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, we went to your brother Esau, and now he was coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. Verse 7, in great fear, right? In great fear and distress, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and the herds and the camels he divided as well. He thought if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. So these messengers, they come back and they say, Esau is coming to meet you, Jacob. But it's not just Esau. They say 400 men are with him. At that time, the common amount for a militia was 400 guys. And so it appears that Esau is getting ready for a fight. And so here comes big, hairy Esau, right? He's coming to meet Jacob and his family. And as you can imagine, this strikes fear into Jacob. Right? He doesn't want anything to happen to his family. And so I imagine all those emotions that he's been carrying the last 20 years, they kind of all rise up. He's thinking about how he deceived his father, how he had tricked and deceived his brother. And so here comes Esau with all these men, and he is scared to death. And so he divides up his family. He says, you know, if one side of the family, one part gets attacked, maybe the other can take off and flee and they'll be okay. But that's not all Jacob does. Again, Jacob, he's always maneuvering, always scheming. And so what he does is he then sends a large gift to Esau. And so he takes again some of his servants and he gives them all these different animals. And it's like wave after wave of animals. So there's 200 like goats, right? They meet Esau. And then after that, there's all these camels and donkeys and everything else. So it's 550 animals in total. To put it maybe a little bit more in our terms, this would be like somebody sending the cars out, right? Here comes the Range Rover. Here comes the BMW. Here comes the boat, right? Here comes a big pile of cash. So Jacob is doing everything he can to soften up his brother. And he says this to his servants in verse 20. He instructed him. He said, "And be sure to say, your servant Jacob is coming behind us. For he thought, I will pacify him." That is, he's going to pacify Esau. "With these gifts I am sending on ahead. And later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me." So Jacob's gift went on ahead of him, but he himself, that is Jacob, spent the night in the camp. So this is the background and the circumstances that are surrounding Jacob's encounter, his face-to-face encounter with his brother Esau. But the story is going to take a very strange twist. Look at verse 22. "That night, Jacob got up and he took his two wives and his two female servants and his 11 sons, and they crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions." So remember, Jacob, he is stressed out. He is anxious. He is fearful. And so he gets his family across this Jabbok River during the night. And this would have actually been a very dangerous thing to do, doing this in the dark. But again, he's scared. He's worried about them. And so he gets them over this river. And now Jacob finds himself all by himself. Now, don't just read this kind of in a flat way. Try to put yourself as best you can in this situation. Feel some of the emotions that Jacob has, right? He's having to meet his brother after this long time period. He's stressed, he's anxious, he's fearful. And you've had those moments, right? You get home from work, maybe you put the kids to bed and you're all alone in the living room or the basement with just those emotions and those feelings. You're all alone. This is Jacob. Again, it's so anxious, so fearful. And then we read this in verse 24. "So Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him till daybreak." You're like, what is happening here? Jacob's all alone, and then all out of nowhere, this guy begins to have this wrestling match with him. Jacob's tired, he's stressed out, and this guy comes out of nowhere and begins to wrestle and strive with Jacob. And it's not just a short wrestling match. It goes on all night. It goes on until the next day, the daybreak. And you have to give it to Jacob. I mean, this guy is a strong dude. I remember last week when he shows up finally from his journey, and there's this watering well and there's this big heavy stone on top of it. And it would take many guys to remove it, but I think he's trying to impress Rachel. And so he moves this big heavy stone all by himself. And so Jacob, I mean, he is a strong man. He is a determined person. And so he begins to wrestle with this guy for many, many hours. Look at verse 25. "When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" So here's Jacob and this guy wrestling all night, right? This other guy can't pin him down, you know, have the referee count 1, 2, 3, match over. And so they keep going and they keep going. And we might say, okay, I get that. Jacob is this strong guy. Maybe this guy couldn't overpower him. But then we are told this other man just touches the hip of Jacob and it's dislocated. How can you not overpower someone, but yet you can give this major injury with just the touch of your hand? Right? Or we're beginning to ask, you know, who is this? Jacob's about to find out. Look at verse 27. "The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So I think the story continues to get stranger. This guy just puts Jacob's hip out of socket, but even in this tremendous pain, Jacob will not let go. I mean, he's in excruciating pain, but he is continuing to hold on to this guy. I would have just said, uncle, right, I'm out. Let's end this thing. But Jacob will not let go until he gets this blessing. And so he's holding on to this guy. And the guy finally says, what's your name? He's saying this to Jacob. And remember Jacob's name. It means trickster, deceiver. And this guy says, no. Your name will no longer be Jacob. It is now Israel. Israel means he who struggles with God, struggles with human beings, and has prevailed. Right? Jacob has struggled with God, and he's prevailed. And so the Lord blesses them, and then this guy, the Lord, just, he's gone. Verse 30, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Again, this has to be one of the top five strangest stories in the Bible. So what do we make of this wrestling match that God and Jacob have? And how can we apply this to our own lives? Well, I want to look at three lessons. The first is this. Wrestling with God is part of your faith journey. When it comes to Jacob's life, I think we could almost summarize it this way, that his life was one of wrestling with God and people. Even in the womb, remember Rebecca, she's like, why, what is going on in my womb? This was Jacob and Esau wrestling with each other. Outside of the womb, there was rivalry with these brothers and they wrestled with each other. Jacob wrestled with his father, Isaac, because Esau was the favorite. As he heads to his mother's side of the family, he wrestles with his uncle, Laban, who deceives him and takes advantage of him. Even with his wife, there was rivalry. And with his sons, there was rivalry. Just all of this different wrestling his whole life. But more than that, he'd been wrestling with God his whole life. Jacob, until this moment, was constantly relying on what he could do. Self-reliant, always scheming, always looking for the angle. For some of us, this is you. For some of us here, you can really relate to Jacob. There is always tension in your life with somebody else. There is tension in your life with God. But you know, Jacob, and maybe this is you, if there's kind of a scale of kind of wrestling with God, Jacob's definitely a 10. But you know, we all find ourselves somewhere on this scale. We all can have times of being self-reliant, depending on our own intellect, our own scheming. But our wrestling with God also comes in those moments of vulnerability due to difficult circumstances. And maybe you find yourself in this season right now, the loss of a loved one, and you're asking, God, how could you let this happen? Maybe a job loss. Lord, how could you let this happen to me and my family? Maybe for you, it's a season of doubt or discouragement. Especially if you're maybe a new believer, a teenager, and your faith is kind of new, maybe some of the things that are happening, maybe you don't think you're growing as quickly in your faith, and so you're discouraged. Maybe there's doubt. Maybe there's some friends of yours that are questioning things about Christianity and just causing you to wrestle with your faith. Maybe for you, you have that feeling when you pray to the Lord that he is absent. He's not there. Maybe for you, it's a health issue. Maybe for you, it's just life. Family life is hard. Kids are hard. Work, all of it, school. And it's just so much. And you're asking, why is this so hard? Maybe for you, it's wrestling with God's word. Right? You read God's word and it says how we're supposed to forgive and bear with one another, whatever it may be. And that is so difficult given the situation and the relationship before you. And this wrestling, this struggle that each of us have, this is part of our journey with God. If you're wondering, should I feel this way at times? Should I have this strife with the Lord at times? The answer is yes. Now, this doesn't mark our whole experience, but there are moments and there are seasons where God wrestles with us. And just like Jacob in this moment, what may surprise you is who initiated the wrestling match? It was God. And there are times in our life where God initiates a wrestling match with us, where he wants us to struggle and strive with him. I find it so interesting as we consider Jacob's life, the different ways that God reveals himself to Jacob and kind of just the soft approaches sometimes and the hard approaches. So you remember when Jacob is heading off to Rebekah's side of the family, right? He literally has nothing. He has to lay his head on this stone for a pillow. And the Lord comes to him in that moment, and we might say a soft way or a reassuring way, right? Remember, he sees this vision, this dream of this stairway or this ladder, and angels are going up and down, and at the very top is the Lord, and the Lord gives him all these reassuring words that he will be with him and he will bless him. And there are times in our faith journey that we need to hear those words of comfort. And I think many times that is how the Lord reassures us of his love. But there are other times where God wants you to wrestle and struggle with him, that God himself initiates this wrestling match just like he did with Jacob. And so again, this doesn't mark the whole of our faith journey, but yet there are moments and seasons of wrestling with God. But the reason that the Lord does this is our second lesson, is that in the wrestling, God makes himself known. What is fascinating in this wrestling match that God and Jacob have is how the Lord progressively reveals who he is to Jacob. So when this story first begins, Jacob gets in this wrestling match with this man, and we don't know who this is. It's very vague. It's unclear. It's just this other guy coming out of nowhere. But as Jacob kept wrestling and kept wrestling, he grew to understand just who this was. He understood the strength of this one. He understood the presence of this one. And for me and you, when we wrestle with God, when we wrestle with God in our thoughts, when we wrestle with God in our prayers, when we wrestle with God in his word, the reason that he wants us to wrestle and strive and struggle is because he wants you to understand him better. He wants you to understand who he is. He wants you to understand his character. He wants you to rely on him. See, Jacob, when he heard the news that Esau was coming, he was fearful. He was anxious. And Jacob sends his family across the river. He's trying to protect them. He has all these emotions, right? Anxiety, stress, fear. He's desperate, right? All the emotions that you and I face in those difficult times in life. But it was through the wrestling and the struggling with God that he received a blessing. As he struggled with God, as he wrestled with God, he knew God better. What I find so amazing, what's he say after this wrestling match? He says, I saw God face to face. And as you move into chapter 33, as this wrestling match ends and day breaks, he looks up, Jacob looks up, and he sees his brother. And he goes ahead of his family and he meets his brother after 20 years face to face. Esau was his most difficult trial, his hardest circumstance. But Jacob could now face Esau because he had seen the face of God. See, Jacob had put in the hard work of wrestling with God, of not letting go, right? Continuing to strive. And as he faced that difficult situation with his brother, it paled in comparison to what he had been with God. Because he had wrestled with God, because he had seen his face, he could face anything now in life. And this is the same for us. You have that trial, and it is hard, and it is difficult. But when you wrestle with God in prayer, when you wrestle with God in his word, you can face anything. Because when you wrestle like that, he will bless you. His presence will be with you. He will be with you every step of the way. And then our third lesson is this. Wrestling with God may leave a mark, all right? Wrestling with God may leave a mark, but it will change you forever. At the end of this night-long wrestling match, when the Lord touches Jacob's hip, it's dislocated and Jacob will have this injury forever, the rest of his life. And he will have this limp the rest of his life. And I'm sure there are times when he's using that staff and he's struggling along, or where he feels the pain or the arthritis, whatever took place over the years, he wished he didn't have it. But yet in that pain, when he was limping, it reminded him of this wrestling match with God. But it also reminded Jacob of the change he went through. Jacob's entire life, self-reliant. His entire life, scheming. Always relying on his strength, his intellect, what he could do. But now in this moment of weakness, it was clear to him that in this moment of weakness where he was weak, his faith in the Lord was strong. In this weak moment, God gave him strength. I asked you at the beginning, do you have that scar, that injury? Right? What's the story behind that? I think most of us have some story that we could share. But let me ask this, what about spiritually? Do you have a spiritual limp? A spiritual limp that points to a struggle that you had with God. A striving, a wrestling match. And when you reflect on that limp, what's it remind you of? Does it remind you of change? Does it maybe remind you that you were so self-reliant, but now you're more humble? Where you've received God's grace, where you're more dependent on God, where you now trust him more. If you're a new believer, don't feel like, oh, I need to have this right away. Don't worry, it's coming, all right? There's ups and downs in your faith journey, and there will be times when life circumstances hit you, and you have to struggle with God, and you will struggle and strive with him, and you will come out marked, you will come out with a limp, but yet you'll know the Lord better. You'll be more dependent on him. Though you feel weak, you'll be strong in the Lord. And so is this story strange? Yeah, it is strange. Again, I think it's one of the top, maybe the top strangest stories in the Bible. But this is also our story of following the Lord. The whole of your Christian life, the whole of my Christian life is not one of constant struggle, but yet it does mark moments and it does mark seasons. But my encouragement to you is keep wrestling. Keep bringing your questions. Keep bringing your struggles to the Lord. And no matter the intensity of what you are facing, like Jacob, don't let go. Continue to hold on to him. And when you do, the Lord will bless you. And you will know him better. And you will experience his strength when you feel weak. Would you please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Is there an area in your life right now that you're wrestling with the Lord? My encouragement to you is to not stop that wrestling match. Continue to strive and struggle with the Lord and know that he is doing it for your good. Is there a difficult situation that you are facing? The promise that we are told here is when you face the Lord, so to speak, when you struggle with him, you can face anything. Do you have a spiritual limp? And if you do, I would encourage you to reflect back on that situation. What took place? What's the story behind it? Maybe for you, you're wrestling with God, not as a follower of Christ, but as an unbeliever right now. And you are struggling and you are wrestling, but you're wrestling because you're feeling God's Spirit work in your heart. Something's happening. If that is you, I would say, put your trust in Jesus. That's one wrestling match to stop. To say, Lord, I admit my sin. I confess my sin to you. Lord Jesus, I believe in who you are, that you lived a perfect sinless life. You went to the cross, died for me, and that you rose from the grave and are alive today. If that is you, confess your sin in your chair right now. Put your faith in Jesus. And if that is you, we would love to talk with you in this time of invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that, Lord, in the difficulties we face, that, Lord, we will struggle and strive with you at times. Lord, we are thankful for those soft and reassuring words. And Lord, we're thankful that that's most of how the time how you deal with us. But Lord, we also know that you want us to struggle with you so that we know you better, that we're blessed by you, that we know your grace. Lord, we come to you weak. Lord, strengthen us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. We ask all this in your name, Lord. Amen.